Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, King of Kings, with the lesson titled, A Thankful Heart. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Good morning, saints of God. Okay, good morning to those that aren't saints of God. I probably shouldn't ask the second one, but we're glad you're here with us today. Michael was to be speaking this morning, and he, yesterday afternoon, seems he's come down with a bug, maybe a little flu, and so we'll be praying for him today. I'm sure he's perhaps watching. I hope he's up, got his head above the pillow. I talked to him last night. I don't think it got much further than that, to be honest with you. But I have prayed that it would be a short flu, not a long flu. You know, they say that, you know, short COVID, long COVID, short flu, long. Everything's now in distance, isn't it? But we do pray for you, Michael, if you're watching, that you'll recover soon. And I promised him a double anointing when he does come, so we'll see what. So he said, well, okay, I'll yield to that, he said. So we do pray for him. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for Michael, and pray that you'd be with him. And, Lord, there's others in our congregation that have fallen ill to these viruses that are going on these days. And to the flu, I ask and pray, Lord, that no one in this room or under the sounding of my voice, that this is a no flu, no bug zone, that will be in your presence, your healing spirit. And Lord, I just speak peace and wholeness and health over this crowd. Yes. In the name of Jesus, amen. We do thank you for being here this morning as I bring a message. This is the weekend of Thanksgiving, and our series is King of Kings. And of course, there's so much we can be thankful for there. And I hope when you leave today, I've got quite a few verses for us to go over just to give you some understanding of what I think that as Christians, I think sometimes we leave a lot of authority at the door. I think there's more to this inheritance in Christ than we have experienced. Put it that way. I think there's a lot more yet to go. And my goal is this morning, hopefully we can stumble upon something in the Word of God that will help us to reach into this inheritance of the saints, that we might be known as a peculiar people. You know, in this season, you know, it starts at Thanksgiving through Christmas. It is a time of what's called great joy by the wise men, it says. If you know the songs, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And there is, I would have to think, should Christians not have more joy than anybody on the planet? Or am I eating raw eggs or something? Yeah, shouldn't we have more joy than anybody? Now, I'm not condemning us, because I'm the chief of joylessness, and God had to send me to Toronto to give me a spirit of laughter. I do not recommend it. As I've said before, he did. I went to Toronto as an observer, came back a participant. If I was going to observe a move of God, And I did. The spirit of laughter came over me. I don't recommend it. I'm really serious, because I couldn't breathe, I know, for 2 hours. It was just so embarrassing. I finally got past embarrassing. Just somebody drag me outside, please. But what happened was I had a spirit of laughter or joy came over me, and I did laugh some. But after it was over, I noticed deposited in me was a higher level of joy. Now, I don't think God has to go to those extremes and embarrass you either. My embarrassment's enough for the whole room. Take my word for it. I think there's more joy to be experienced in Christ than perhaps we're all experiencing right at the moment. And I think it's the realization of what the Lord has done for us and who He is. And I have found myself almost needing to these that are running low on joy, you'll understand this, to those of you that are overflowing in joy, this will not make any sense. But I almost need permission to have joy. As a male, it's like I got to be serious all the time, and I've got to take care of all these problems, and I've got to do all this stuff that as a male I think I'm supposed to do. And so when I look at the Word of God and it tells me to have a little bit of joy, it's almost like I have to be given permission to have joy, because it's kind of written by the world that we're to be a joyless people. The people of God for sure need to keep a straight face and complain about everything, because the world's coming to the end, right? And so that's who we're supposed to be. And so hopefully with this teaching, now that I've got you talked into no joy, let's go somewhere where I think there is maybe a little bit of joy for us to consider. And there again, I say that I'm the chief of sinners when it comes to this. I do have joy, but I have experienced times in my life that I had more joy. Of course, there's so much sadness going on, and that you would think, I understand the argument for not having a high level of joy. There again, I say I'm chief, because I'm always problem solving or praying for the sick or whatever. So you would think all of that tends to affect your joy level, right? And but yet the scriptures say that to be happy and have joy is not the same thing. To be happy and have joy is not the same thing. And joy, true, happiness comes because you got stuff that makes you happy, or something's made you happy. Joy comes when you have nothing to make you happy. Joy comes because you have someone living within you that you have a peace and a joy that overcomes the circumstance. Circumstances are not to play a part in true joy. Circumstances play a part in being happy. And I mean, I'm not against being happy. I mean, I don't think that. I'm all for happy. But I'm also for this joy that the Bible's speaking about. So real quickly here, I've got a few slides to go through, and I would like to go through all of them to give us an idea of this particular teaching. I call it A Thankful Heart. Our series is King of Kings, but this whole season is a season of being thankful. And so look at this in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to do a lot of scripture here. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what?" Now, I'm not even getting into great joy yet. I'm just talking about joy, okay? So hold back. Just hold your joy back. We're not going great yet. "Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, that's supposed to be something that creates great joy in you. And what is it? "Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So, we're going into what we call the Christmas season. And I know all the arguments on why we shouldn't and why we should, and that's not the right day, and it was another day, and, you know, don't do mistletoe, and don't, don't do all this stuff. And I get all that. Forget all that for a minute, though. Something about this information of the Savior being born is supposed to deposit in me a level of joy that the Bible calls great, even though I can't go there yet, but just that terminology there is to deposit in me great joy. So When I read that, I was really looking for, you know, at least four or five run around the room, people throw hankies up or something, to verify that I'm preaching the Word of God here. Nonetheless, it says that that's great joy. So I have to start analyzing myself a little bit and say, Alan, I don't think you're walking in great joy. I don't think you appreciate what you have in this Savior called Christ the Lord. And yet we have so much in the world that just robs us of this message. But Alan, you don't understand. I'm sick and I've got this and I've got that. And the only thing I can tell you is this book tells us that we can experience a level of what it calls great joy. Now, I'm calling this the lifestyle of a people of great joy who can see the invisible God. Now, to be a people of joy, I wasn't there when Jesus Christ came to this earth. I wasn't there. Matter of fact, I've never been over there where he was. I haven't been there. I've just read in this book that he was there. But for some reason, I haven't been there across some water I had never been across, to a country I've never been to a city I've never been to. And it says that if I believe that he came there, that I'll have great joy. Well, this part I understand. I haven't been there. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen the country. But I believe it happened. How did I get that? I really am convinced. I'm a rational man. I'm a dairy farmer. I milk cows. I'm rational. But why and how do I believe something I've never seen nor experienced? Well, I'm suspicious that it was when the Holy Spirit of God came into my life. I'm told that I've been invaded by the Holy Ghost when I received Christ. That's what I've been told. And with that Holy Spirit within me, I have noticed that he causes me to believe things that I'm shocked that I believe. Am I the only one in the room? I mean, I can act religious and all that with the best of them, but I'm saying, why do I believe that? Well, it's called the Holy Spirit of God. It's something about when we got the Holy Ghost intertwined with us, when we believed, there's something happened that gave me the ability to believe that Jesus Christ was born and he came to this earth and he's my Savior. And so something the wiring, I don't know how God did it, but something within me believes that ridiculous story. Here's the quest. Will I believe that there's great joy in celebrating this time of the year that the Savior was born? Is there any hope for the Church of Jesus Christ for us to leave from here? I'll either offend your hard heart or you'll consider great joy. And it's the only thing that can change us is not the sound of my voice. It's the Word of God that'll change us. I mentioned in the first service, if someone comes in the service today and they have a cane and they're reaching for the door and the steps and they're kind of tapping everything, and they come through the door and they're looking, I can tell they're looking for a seat. Well, the truth is, I know that that person is blind. They can't see. They're tapping the floor and they got a stick. Well, you wouldn't run up to them and make fun of them, would you? Well, I would hope not. Because they're blind. They can't see. Well, if they can't see, what would you do? How would you respond to somebody blind came here? Well, you'd go get them by the hand and you'd say, just follow me, I got you, I'm going to lead you to a chair or whatever, anything you need. What can I do for you? And I'm sure everyone in here would be more than glad to help somebody blind that came into this room that you were taken care of and you got seated. Well, the scriptures tell us to see the kingdom of God, to see this great joy, that joy is part of the kingdom of God, to see this stuff, the Bible tells us you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. If you haven't been born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You just can't. So when we're talking about, as I even said the first service, that if someone comes in that's blind, you wouldn't make fun of them. You wouldn't push them down. You'd help them. But yet we've got a whole world that the Bible says blind and they can't see. Do we make fun of them, or are we mad at them, or do we try to meet them where they are and treat them and be helpful because they're blind? Now, that's for those that are not born again. But now I want to move forward into these that are born again but are still blind, which is definitely me. Maybe you can feel a little bit of this. What we're wanting to do is be a people of great joy. If visitors came into this congregation, into a room full of God's people, full of great joy, I'll bet $100 to your dollar they'll be back next week. They would say, I've never been around that much joy. I don't know what it is about that crowd. They're either crazy or they're full of joy. One of the, this joy is something that comes out of the Holy Spirit. It's a holy joy. It's true joy. It's a contentment in a person, and his name is Jesus. All right, let me move on. Now, I'm going to hit something here quickly, eyes of our understanding. Did you know your eyes, your understanding has eyes? In other words, you've got to see to understand. A thankful heart is what focuses our spiritual eyes. So if I'm standing up here and I am really thankful in my heart for what God's done for me, and you know, God gave Israel different feast days to remember what he had done for them. Remember that? You got Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. So the Jews had all of these feast days that the God said, I want you to do these every year or every time, the harvest. And he said, I want you to do in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what I've done for you. And it's and they call them celebrations. And so they were celebrating what God had done. So it tells me, too, that we're to remember what God has done for us, that we might, through that remembrance, have great joy. Do you remember the day you got born again? Do you remember when God did this or God did that? But nonetheless, it's the remembrance, but we tend to remember what hasn't happened. We tend to remember the bad things. Somebody offended me, or this one did that, or this one did the other. But it's a choice. Now let's look at it quickly. Ephesians 1, cease not to give thanks, there's that word again, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your what? Okay, now your understanding has eyes. Being what? Enlightened. That ye may know what is what? The hope of his calling and what? The riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. So there again, we've got a lot of inheritance here I don't think we're spending. It's called wisdom, revelation, knowledge. And what happens is the eyes of our understanding. It's that we can, as children of God, and members of the kingdom of God, we have the ability, it's already in you. You're not blind now, right? You've been born again, so now you're not blind. But it says here, wisdom, revelation, knowledge, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened. So that tells me my eyes have been opened, but they can be dark. They can be darkened because I need this stuff so somebody turns the lights on in my seeing. So you start seeing as a believer, one that's been born again, I'm not blind, I can see. but I can get different shades of seeing. And what minimizes my joy is I've got more darkness than I've got light. We're shooting for something here. It's called great joy. Are you going with me? So we start learning that our eyes can become darkened. And we need some light, enlightenment turned on to our eyes. And why do we? What does the light produce? It produces glory. We got a great inheritance out here. We're not using. We're not spending. And God says He's put glory in it. I got a feeling a church that's full of great joy is full of great glory. You say, well, Alan, what's great glory? Let me tell you something. I don't know, but let's find out. Let's get some going and we'll discover it together. It's called the great glory of the inheritance of the saints. Wow. All right, let's watch it. Y'all gonna be here 2 o'clock if I don't hurry. All right. I want you to see this. The wise men stayed focused on the star. So we can see our spiritual eyes must remain focused. And when we do that, it's going to lead us to the Savior. And that's the glory. You know, glory's got a spout where the glory comes out. You know the song. Okay. Here we go. Hang on. Things you can see can be a language. The things that you see around you did not come out of nowhere. They were created according to something in the invisible realm. It's in Colossians. For by Him were what? All things created in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and what? Invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, things that were created by Him and for Him. So we got this realm here of things that we can see. Some we can see, some's visible and some's invisible. And we're saved. We're going to see how we can get there. You see what you value. I made this analogy before. I bought a white Ford pickup in 2008, which I still have. 360,000 miles on it. Don't think too highly of it. It's my second motor. 360,000 miles. But when I bought that truck and I drove out on the Interstate 40 driving it home, all of a sudden I had all these white four-door pickups passing me on the road. Oh, wow, boy, there's another one. I'm just very honest with you. So before I got home, I forget how many I saw, but I thought, there's a lot of smart people as smart as me. Right? They all bought the same pickup. Well, the truth is I just spent a lot of money for it, so it had a lot of value to me at the moment, even though when I drove it off a lot, probably lost $10,000. Nonetheless, it was valuable enough to me that I bought it. Since I valued it driving it home, you'll see what you value. I passed the white trucks every day. I just didn't value them like I did that day. Point being, you tend to see what you value. And so I started noticing if I want more joy, I need to change some of our value system here. I didn't have great joy over a white pickup. I was happy. Didn't have great joy. Now let's watch it. The created world will give you the capacity to understand, of course, the invisible world. What you see in the invisible world is determined by the condition of your heart. My heart was conditioned. See a white Ford pickup? That's what I saw. Are you not just a little suspicious that God's doing more than what you're seeing? Just a little. Aren't we just a little suspicious? Surely to goodness, I'm not seeing all God's doing. So what do you think's going on? You got to understand what you see in the invisible world is determined by the condition of your heart. Watch it. An unthankful heart sees that which is dark. Just the way it is. That's the first and second heavens, we call it. We'll not get into that. A thankful heart can see dark as well as light, includes first and second heaven, and the third heaven. Sorry about that. And the third heaven. So What happens is a thankful heart sees it all, first, second, third heaven. We call it. Thankful heart sees what's dark, but it also sees what's light, and then it chooses where it's going to live. It's a choice. You don't bypass it. I know things are bad going on in the world. I know that. I don't ignore it. But it's my choice on where I'm going to park my attitude, my thinking, my focus. Because what I focus on tends to be what I see. So if you focus on what's dark and bad, guess what? You're going to see more that's dark and bad. And I don't know about you. I like a little bit of hot pepper seasoning, but I don't want my whole plate of peppers. I can't handle it. Am I the only person in here that can get saturated on news? You know what I'm saying? Can you not just get more than you can swallow? And it has a lot to do with who you're listening to. Some people that I listen to today are probably toxic, I guess. Well, I know they're toxic because after a little time, I'm sick on my stomach. So, yeah, I'd say they're toxic. Okay. All right, let's know thankfulness equals vain imaginations. Uh-oh, dark heart. Sarah Allen, where is it in the Bible? Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts was what? Well, right there it is. Darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become what? Wow. This is real stuff, right? It's real stuff here. Now, Thanksgiving helps to focus your spiritual eyes. I was very thankful for a four-door white pickup. Very thankful for it. Matter of fact, that's all I could see on my way home. And that's really a true experience. But we've got to understand, we tend to focus. If we want to see more that God's doing, we got to be tuned in more to what God's doing. Your spiritual eyes see through thanksgiving. I want to bring you a little definition here in Colossians. Continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has a posture of watching. Did you think about that? Thanksgiving has a posture of, can you see that? Of watching. So we watch, what am I watching for? Thanksgiving, out of a heart of thanksgiving comes a watching to see what God's doing. Now, I call it looking in and not at, 3D, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with the might in his spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what?
Faith.
Faith. That Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. So here we see it goes dimensional on us. It's more than just linear. I'm looking out across here and I see linear, but it has dimension. So is the spirit world as we get into it quickly. We look in and not at. What do I mean by that? If a person comes in, again, that's blind, I can look at him and I can see that he's blind if I look at him. But when I look in him, then I can start seeing the desires of what he's needing, the desires of his heart, where he's hurt, what help. Does he need help to a seat? Yes. Does he maybe need more than that? Yes. And that's the difference in looking. A lot of times we just look at, linearly, we just look at. We make a conclusion of what we're looking at, and so therefore we don't look in. We just absolutely look at. You are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your body lives and sees in the realm of the first heaven. Your soul lives and sees into the second heaven. Your spirit has been created to live and see into the third heaven. We cannot ignore any dimension. Instead, we just look through them until we see what God's doing behind the scenes. Now, our choice as Christians, as we're looking in something, not just at something. I'm sure a lot of people look at me, and I just like you, and all of a sudden their first conclusion is, This is who you are. This is just who you are. And I've discovered at 73, a lot of people size me up, and they've never had a conversation with me. They just don't know how. They just know who I am. And I'll get an email on who I am, and I'm doing this and that. And I'm like, well, we've never even talked. Could we not have a conversation here? Now what is that? That's looking at someone, coming up with a conclusion instead of looking in someone. And we do that by the power of the Spirit, and that's what we call it. It's dimensional. Now, I'm going to show you about the joy here in a moment. When we look in and at what are the circumstances of life look like, we think if only this or that would change, we could see things from a different perspective. Then we would truly be happy. When we look in and not at, we can fly in the Spirit and see what God is doing behind the scenes. A people of God, when you can look at somebody and the Lord allows you to see in somebody, that means that the Spirit of the Lord is showing you prophetically what He's doing on behalf of that person. On what? Did you know God's doing something on behalf of all of us sitting in this room? What we want to do is come into agreement with what God's doing in your life. And that's for another day. A thankful heart is not a good word, but is an experience. Now go with me here just a second. I'm going to switch gears with you for just a moment. And I've got just 20 minutes, so if you got a seatbelt, put it on. We're going to have to hurry. It's an experience. It is an experience of the third heaven. It is when you allow yourself to receive from God the permission to have a thankful heart. There again, I mentioned that earlier on. Whether we realize it or not, we need permission from God to have a thankful heart. You don't have to defend on why you don't have one. Okay? We don't have to defend that. We just have to be open. But you say, Alan, you don't know what's going on in my life. I get all that. I really do get all that. Still doesn't change the Word of God that I can have joy in the situation I'm in. Now listen, I don't have time to develop all this, but the joy of God in your life overflowing has a lot to do with the outcome and the circumstances you're in right now. I couldn't say that again if I had to. I hope you got it the first time through. The joy is important. The joy of God, the joy of the Lord is part of our immune system, is the joy of the Lord. It's part of our spiritual immunity, but our physical immunity. So the enemy wants us to get all this bad news and all this bad stuff going on so that it robs our joy, and the joy is a spiritual element that's part of our spiritual immunity system that's going to combat this mess. Okay. I just have to leave you there, and you'll have to take my word for it or study the Word of God. What is the will of God for my life? Now watch this one, Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. So when you come to me and say, Alan, what's the will of God for my life? What is it? To give thanks. The will of God, according to the Word of God, for all of us, the will of God is for us to give thanks. Well, no, Alan, you don't understand. I want to be a missionary, or do I need to do this? Or do I, well, I can't tell you about that, but I can tell you what the will of God is for your life. That is, you give thanks. You see, it's out of a lifestyle of giving thanks that God will show you His will. God can't show you His will out of a bad attitude life. You can't have an attitude, God bless me if you can. It's not going to go anywhere. God's just not impressed. All right, let's keep going here quickly. Being thankful is proof that we are walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. How important to God is giving thanks? All right, here we go. Do you think it's important to give thanks, even though that is the will of God? We've already seen it by the Word of God. So how important is it to God? It's so important to God that with Israel, He had an office, a group of people that were assigned that their whole lifestyle was to sit around the tabernacle and temple and give thanks to God. That's all they did. Sit around and give thanks. You think you'd get bored with that? You want in the presence of God. First Chronicles. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. I'd say it's pretty important to God. Chronicles, it says this. And with them, Heman and Jeuth and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. So, point B, it's pretty important unto God to give thanks. Is it that God has to have us giving thanks so he can work or motivate? No. The giving thanks is part of our spiritual immune system. God is a thankful God. Believe it or not, God's thankful that he made you. He's thankful. Proof that he loves you already is he created you. It's proof. God is a God of thanks. He gives thanks for us. The fruit of our lips is what others will eat. Will your fruit make them healthy or sick? Hebrews. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. How many people want to walk in the fruits of the Spirit? Just give thanks. It's important to God. Why give thanks? Because it's the fruit of your lips. A tree doesn't eat its own fruit. So your fruit is what others eat from you. Are you with me? I'm just telling the ways of the Spirit here. You test it. True thankfulness comes willingly from what? From the heart. Psalms, willingly I will sacrifice to thee. I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalms 95:2. Let us come before his presence. You know the verse. With thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I don't know. It's probably just a ritual on my part. But when I get up in the morning, I say, good morning, Jehovah. I just go through the drill. Yahshua and good morning, Holy Spirit. And then I say, may I enter your courts with thanksgiving. And then I just start thanking him for my family and whatever. So I begin my day with giving thanks unto the Lord. Every day I get up, every day, done it for years, I give thanks unto the Lord. And it's because of this, and I have noticed something. Surely the righteousness shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. It magnifies God. Now, if you are in a crisis right now, you're in a crisis, you're in a tough situation, and you say, Alan, I need God. I need a God moment in my life. Well, when you magnify something, it makes it bigger than it really is, right? You've got a magnifying glass, and it makes it bigger than it really is. So when we magnify God, you might not say, the presence of God's not here around me. I can tell I need his presence. What we're to do, instructed by the Word of God, we start magnifying God, which means I'm going to make God bigger in the moment than he is. That's all. Is it called magnifying God? You're going to make God bigger in your moment than he is presently. Now, I'm aware some of you probably don't care if God's in your life or not, but I do. And there's times that you'll need him, whether you realize it or not. It says it in Psalms, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It is a good indicator of our spiritual condition. Quickly, the wicked are ungrateful, for they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was what? It was darkened. There you got the difference in light and darkness. And I know we say, I can't see God doing anything. Well, your heart's a little too dark. You need some light turned on. But the righteousness shall give thanks unto thy name, it says there. There again, I'm not going to elaborate because I've got to hurry. How should we give thanks? Audibly, it says, with our voice, not just with our thoughts. Psalms 34:1, in thy mouth, with my tongue, in Psalm 35. We're to give thanks in our testimony. I'm just giving you different examples. God, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among his people. You see that? That's testimony. Giving thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds. You tell what he's done, that I might publish with the voice of what? Thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wonderful works. I didn't know it was in there so much either. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, psalms unto him, his wondrous works. Now here we get into what we can do with music. Then on that day, David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord in his hand of Asaph, his brethren. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known the deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Take ye of all his wonderful, wondrous works, it says. Now there again, I hope you're catching on. Do we want to praise and worship the Lord, God? Yes. But just keep in mind, God's got you in mind more than him. Would God not be pretty egotistical if he just sat around for us to tell him how great he was all the time? Would that not be a little egotistical on God's part? Of course it would. But what if that's not what God's meaning is in him doing that? We've got to catch on, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ, we're trying to live Christianity joylessly, and it ain't working. Now, look at it. Let's keep going quickly. We give thanks through singing. Of course, you know it. Give thanks unto the Lord among thee. I will sing praises unto thy name. That's the reason we worship. We do it through musical instruments. Through the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites. They were the ones that did the music. With all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, with singing and cymbals and psaltery and harps. It's amazing to me. I can't go there. I'm out of time. Give thanks through prayer. Cease not to do what? Give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what? Prayers. Look at there. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So when we're even asking the Lord something, he says, make your request with thanksgiving. Colossians, we give thanks to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He was thanking them for him before he prayed for them. It looks like to me that thankfulness or a thankful heart, it brings healing to my body. My fruit can bring healing to you. It's like the thankfulness card is a key that unlocks the kingdom of God. It's amazing. And we could go into it more, but I can't in one sermon, so I'm going to have to hurry. Give thanks with shouts of joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. You didn't know that thanksgiving in a turkey meant so much, did you? Quickly. Now, who should hear our thanks? I'm trying to give different examples from Scripture. I will give thee thanks in the what? In the congregation. I will praise thee among much people. So who should hear that I'm thankful? Everybody. The reason I pray over my food, whether I'm in a restaurant or anywhere, so I can do this. And just everybody know I'm thankful. It's a good excuse then. When should we do it? Giving thanks always. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often? Always. Cease not to give thanks for you. There you go. Followers of Christ should give thanks for victory and not defeat. Now, this is a big one. We should give victory, thanks for victory and not defeat. But you say, but Alan, I'm losing here. My job, my health, friendships, You don't understand. Things aren't going well. Give thanks for victory and not defeat. Let's go with the word of God. It is God that avengeth me and subdue the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. I don't care if that's job, sickness, whatever. And thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I, what? Give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this before, these things that I'm giving you in Scripture, admonishing us to be a part of and a practice of. Years ago, I was in a particular church, and this one lady would get on my ever-loving nerve. It could be referred to as last nerve. Anybody ever had one of them last nerves? And she just praised God, I don't care what happened. Some of you heard me say this, but this lady would get on your nerves. She'd praise God no matter what happened. Somebody could drop an offering plate, and she'd praise God, you know. And it just so happens that this is the truth. She had so much thankfulness in her heart that I couldn't deny this. It's like she had a glow to her. I'm very honest with you. I didn't understand all she was being thankful for, but yet she had the glory of God on her life. She had totally mastered something that I'm just still trying to learn about. Thankfulness for God's mercy and forgiveness is in 1 Chronicles. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And gathers us and delivers us out of the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Karen, you can come up. I'm not going to get to the end of this thing. I want to do this one, though. Thanksgiving is a cure for anxiety. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you haven't been anxious, for it will cause it to come on you if I do that. But a lot of times we don't think about thankfulness as a cure for something. Let's look at the scriptures here. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Now you see, we know we're not supposed to be anxious, but we don't necessarily read the rest of it. You're not anxious, but you do something. You give thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's amazing how in all of these scriptures, for some reason, when you enter into the presence of God, it has been shown us by example of Scripture, it's a good idea to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And there again, if you really believe that Jesus is who he says he is, in the first verse that I gave you, he is really this person of God. Now, this is being thankful for the grace of God. I'm going to close with this one. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ Jesus. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ. He is thankful for the grace of God that's been given to his friends. He is happy. He is rejoicing in the measure of the grace of God. Now my question is, do I even stop long enough to look at the measure of the grace of God in your life? Right? The measure of the grace of God that's in your life. I had a few more verses to go. You should by now have gotten my drift of the thankfulness of God. To have a thankful heart is a people of God. To have a thankful heart is part of your spiritual and physical immune system. A thankful heart really and truly helps in relationships. I mean, bam, blow my mind. Who would have thought that? Thankfulness will work in any given situation. The reason of this message today is I believe the Lord called for it. Michael called me. This is a time to be thankful. The Lord said, I want you to bring the thankfulness to this congregation. I just ask and pray that you receive what scriptures that we've used. Thank you for being attentive. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this day, oh God. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. And Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that if anything I've said is not of you, it'd fall to the ground. But if anything I've said is of you, I pray it'll be quickened to our hearts. I pray, oh God, that all of us in this room and those watching online, Lord, I pray that joy to the world, the Lord has come, will be more real to us again this year. That the joy of the season might rise up in our hearts, that we might truly be the people and the children of God. Be with us this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.